Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're going to pick up where the pastor left off last week. We will be looking at verses 15 through 17 in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by our spoken word or by our letter. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. This is God's word. Let's pray. Holy Father, we thank you for this letter that we have to the church in Thessalonica. We'd ask that you would use these words, which were inspired by the Holy Spirit, for Paul to encourage the church, that they may be an encouragement to us as well, and that they would strengthen our faith. We ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. So that is sort of the focus of these verses today, the encouragement for believers. So in a world of uncertainty and false teachings, God's love provides the eternal comfort and good hope that we need to stand firm and be established in every good work and word. And so the title of the message this morning is A Prayer for the Thessalonians. We often think of prayer as a way to get something from God. But what about a prayer for someone else? In this passage, Paul isn't just giving the Thessalonians instructions. He's praying for them. He understands their struggles, the persecutions they face, the confusion from false teachers, and he goes directly to the source of all strength. Paul's prayer reveals the heart of what every believer needs to endure and thrive: God's comfort and his hope. And so we see in verse 15 an exhortation to stand firm. Paul begins with this charge, and this was the verse that was supposed to be the tail end of the pastor's sermon last week. He had entitled his sermon, Stand Firm, but yet he only got to verses 13 and 14, and he promised you that this week we would look at 15, which is stand firm. So to honor his promise, that's where we're starting. Paul begins, so then, brothers, stand firm. Why is this so crucial? Because the forces of evil, they want to knock us off our feet. But it says, if you look very closely, it says, so then. That's what it says in the ESV translation. In the King James, it says, therefore. And as you've heard the pastor say many times before, as he learned in seminary, when you see the phrase, therefore, you need to ask yourself, what is it there for? And so the therefore, or the so then in the ESV, means that Paul wants us to consider what he's already written up to this point. In this letter, he has given compelling reasons for why Christians must stand firm and not be moved. Now, I realize it's hard when we break up this letter into chunks over the course of several weeks and months, because that's not how you read a letter. If you've got a grandchild who's away at college and they send you a letter in the mail and it comes, you don't read the first two lines and then put it back in the envelope and then leave it on the coffee table for a week before you come back to read the next paragraph. When the letter was written by Paul, it was meant to be read in its entirety. So when Paul is saying here in verse 15, so then, we need to be reminded of what he's already said in this letter, this second letter to the church in Thessalonica. In chapter 1, he said that they should stand firm because of the current distress. They were referred to as persecutions and tribulations. Also in chapter 1, we read that he's encouraging them to stand firm because of the coming judgment of the world with flaming fire taking vengeance in verse 8. And then, as I covered a couple weeks ago, in chapter 2, they should stand firm because of the strength of the coming deception, where we learned about all power, signs, and lying wonders in verse 9. And then last week, the pastor spoke of standing firm because of our glorious destiny, the glory of our God, Jesus, as is spoken of in verse 14. And so we see in verse 15, Paul is encouraging them to hold to the traditions that they were taught. Now, I know sometimes we may joke about traditions. A few weeks ago, I, after the service, made a comment to the pastor about the fact that now that we've all sat on this side of the church for three consecutive weeks, it's a new tradition. We need to be careful about whether or not the traditions that we hold fast to are from God or whether they're just our preferences. So Paul is explaining what those traditions should be based on. It's not about human rituals, but it's about the bedrock truths of the gospel that Paul has delivered to them. This should be our foundation. In a world of shifting sand, we must be anchored to the unchangeable word of God. And it's only this anchor of God's word that can enable us to stand firm under the weight of our present tribulation and the weight of our coming glory. So imagine a mighty oak tree in a hurricane. We're coming upon hurricane season. While smaller branches may snap and leaves fly, the tree itself often remains because its roots are deep and strong. In the same way, our roots must be in the traditions, the truths of God's word. When the storms of false teaching, persecution, or life's trials come, we will not be uprooted if we are grounded in the truth. And so Paul speaks of the spoken word and by our letter. And so there's really a combination of two features that he's calling them to recall. When he says our spoken word, we know from Acts that he spent 3 weeks with them. So there were 3 weeks when he taught them, when he opened up through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit the truths of the gospel to them. So that was what he means when he says our spoken word, when he spoke directly to them. But then he also says at the tail end of verse 15, by our letter. So this goes to the authority of Scripture. And this is why when the canon of Scripture was developed, these letters were selected because of the authority and the recognition in the early church that they were of God. So there is this weight to both the teaching that Paul had with the fledgling Christians there in Thessalonica, but also referencing the letter that he had written to them. But that brings us to verses 16 and 17, which is a prayer for the Thessalonians. Now, as I was preparing for this message this morning, I discovered that Charles Spurgeon preached 5 separate sermons on verses 16 and 17. That seems like a lot for just 2 verses. Fortunately, I'm going to, hopefully, by God's grace, be able to cover these 2 verses just this morning. I don't think we're going to extend chapter 2 well into September. But as we look at verse 16, we see that Paul immediately turns to the ultimate source of their help. He refers to our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father. So he highlights 2 gifts from God that are foundational to our being able to endure, our ability to stand firm. So this is why 15 flows very naturally into this prayer in 16 and 17. First of all, he talks about everlasting comfort. The Greek word for comfort here, paraklesis, also means encouragement. It's not a temporary feeling, but a deep, abiding presence and peace that only God can provide. It's an encouragement that lasts forever. And then the second gift from God that is foundational to our endurance, to our ability to stand firm, is good hope. Now, this is not wishful thinking like, I hope I get a new job. This is a confident, secure expectation rooted in God's promises and his grace. And as you know, we focus on hope for an entire Sunday each Advent season because so much of what we read in the scriptures is filled with God's hope for us. Now, these gifts of everlasting comfort and good hope are given through grace, meaning we don't earn them. They are freely given because of God's love for us. And then Paul continues as he's speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, and he modifies it by saying, who has loved us? Before Paul asks God to do something specific for the Thessalonians, he brings to remembrance all that God had done for them. God has loved them and gave them an everlasting consolation and good hope by grace. And so we know this is the core of the gospel. He has loved us. He loved us so much that he sent his son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that through him they might be saved. And we know from John chapter 1, to all who believed and received in his name, he gave the power to be children of God. So the love of God is what is enabling us to stand firm. Think of a hospital waiting room. Some people have a desperate hope, anxiously waiting for a phone call that may or may not bring good news. But in contrast to that, imagine a loving father who has already secretly bought his daughter a brand new car for her birthday. When he tells her, I have a gift for you, she doesn't have a desperate hope. She has a good hope, a confident expectation, because her hope is based on the character and promise of a loving father. This is the kind of hope that God gives us. It is based on his character and his identity as a loving father. Well, Paul goes on and he is praying for comfort for their hearts and that they would be established. He asks God to do two things in the Thessalonian Christians. First, he wants God to comfort their hearts. Second, he asks God to establish them in every good word and work. This prayer for comfort and continued testimony and work for Jesus is fitting in light of the special needs of believers under pressure. And the pastor has spoken of this multiple times, that this church in Thessalonica was under persecution. That's part of the reason that Paul was run out after only 3 weeks. But the persecution continued, and so they need to be established. But when you're under persecution for a long time, comfort is really so necessary. So this prayer is full of useful and important suggestions for us. First of all, there is a reminder that Jesus is ours, because he says, our Lord Jesus Christ himself. And a reminder that God is our Father. A reminder that God has loved us. And a reminder that God has given us much. And as a result of that, we have an everlasting consolation. And all of this is through grace. And so as we turn to verse 17, the purpose of why it is that we're being established as part of Paul's prayer isn't for our own purposes, but it's for God's purposes. God's gifts aren't just for us to feel good, but they're intended to have a purpose. Paul's prayer is that God would comfort your hearts and establish them. And to establish means to make firm and stable and strong. And remember, verse 15 talks about standing firm. And so then he's praying now for how it is that they're going to be able to stand firm when they are established. And so what is the goal? The goal, according to this prayer, is that we would be established in every good work and word. Our inner strengthening from God's comfort and hope leads to an outer expression of our faith, our actions, and our words. The life of a believer is not just about standing firm and surviving. It's about being so rooted in God's truth and love that we are empowered to live a life that glorifies Him in everything that we do and say. And so this prayer that Paul prays for the church in Thessalonica, it has a lot of application for us today. It's a timeless prayer for us. We too face challenges. And sometimes we face confusion. Sometimes we are bombarded with false teachings. We need God's everlasting comfort and good hope to strengthen our hearts. And we should not only pray this for ourselves, but for one another, that we may be established in every good work and word, living for the glory of Christ. In verse 15, Paul tells us to stand firm and to hold fast to the word. Then in verses 16 and 17, he prays that Jesus and the Father would strengthen us in every good work and word. So he shows that there is a connection between holding to the word and praying for God to make the word effective. Verse 15 says, stand firm and hold to the traditions which you were taught, whether by word of mouth or by letter from us. How would he say this today? He would not say, be sure you have a Bible on the shelf at home. He would say, read the Bible, memorize it, Take hold of it as you go out of the house in the morning. Meditate on it and use it to fight the fight of faith during the day. Use it to stand firm. Now, to show that the word without the help of God through the word is not sufficient, Paul speaks of a blessing or a benediction. We offer a benediction at the end of each service, which is kind of a prayer. He says, "Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope by grace, comfort and strengthen your hearts in every good work and word." He calls on God to do the comforting and the strengthening. So in verse 15, he says to us, stand firm. How? By holding fast to the word. But in verse 17, he says, Lord Jesus and God the Father, strengthen them for every good work and word. We can't do it in and of ourselves. If we try to stand firm in our own strength, in our own power, in our own abilities, we will fall flat. But if we are standing firm in his word and in the power of the Holy Spirit, that is how we will be strengthened, how we will be encouraged, and how we will be able to stand. So how does our strength for good works and good words happen? Just by meditating? No. By prayer? Not just prayer. By prayer for God to make the word effective in our lives. And so that's really what our encouragement for this week should be. We should pray to make the word of God effective in our lives. Word and spirit, meditation and prayer, not either or, but both together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word of encouragement from Paul to the church in Thessalonica. We'd ask that you would strengthen us, that you would encourage our hearts. And we'd ask, Lord, that you would empower us to have the word be effective in our lives. Lord, may we not just be people who know the word, but might we be a people who are motivated by the word, that we might be your hands and your feet, that our words and our actions would reflect the hope that we have in you, the trust that we have in you, and the comfort that we have in you. Lord, make us instruments of your power this week. We ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen.